This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology. Brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku.
And GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Well, today in this hour, we have a treat for you. We're going to bring on once again Michael Shermer. He's a publisher of Skeptics Magazine. In fact, he's one of the founders of the Skeptics Movement. He has a new book out called Heavens on Earth, The Scientific Search for Afterlife, Immortality, and Utopia. So we're going to talk about all that stuff you see on television, all the stuff you've heard about, all the stuff that ancient civilizations have talked about since time immemorial, afterlife, immortality, utopia. And then if you have time, we'll talk about some of your favorite conspiracy theories. So first of all, let me give you a warning. And that warning is, well, some of the things you may hear may disagree with some of the things that you believe in. But hey, we're talking about science. We're talking about different points of view getting aired. And so once again, you may hear some things that you disagree with, but hey, that's okay. You can give us a call and have your point of view on the air. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station you're listening to or the website, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on over 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Also, if you want to find out more about what I'm doing, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or Facebook. We have 3 million fans on Facebook. On Twitter, every week, about a million people get my tweets that are on Twitter every week. And my latest book is a New York Times bestseller, The Future of Humanity, Our Destiny in the Universe, about the future of the space program. In fact, that's my fourth New York Times bestseller. But today, we are going to be talking about things that you see on television, you read about, you think about, but you simply don't know what science says about it. We're talking to Michael Shermer, publisher of Skeptics Magazine. He's the author of a number of great books, including Why People Believe Weird Things, The Science of Good and Evil, and his latest, Heavens on Earth, The Scientific Search for Afterlife, Immortality, and Utopia. Well, Michael, once again, let me ask you a question, a personal question. Why did you, as a youth, get interested in some of these things that most scientists would not touch with a 10-foot pole?
Right. Well, I was interested first initially through science fiction, Star Trek and Isaac Asimov's books and Arthur C. Clarke and 2001, all that, just as, you know, in high school and in early college years. And I was always fascinated by the kind of the margins of science, the fringes of science, both good and bad, the kind of stuff you do with the, you know, the future of science, future of humanity, but also the margins and fringes of the other direction, that is pseudoscience, and what is the difference between science and pseudoscience. And when I was in college in the 70s, and particularly in graduate school in the late 70s, the paranormal was pretty popular. I mean, Uri Geller, the Israeli spoonbender, was, you know, like on the cover of Newsweek, and Thelma Moss had this lab at UCLA studying the paranormal, and I thought, you know, Timothy Leary and it was a lecturer at Harvard, and, you know, I thought, well, these people are smart. They're smarter than me, so maybe there's something to it. And, you know, as I ground through an experimental psych program, the methods are pretty rigorous, and it seemed to exclude those kinds of phenomenon from study, but yet people were trying to test them. So I try to keep an open mind about it and think, well, you know, it's possible, it's real. And, you know, but then the nascent skeptics movement was kind of taking off in response to the whole New Age movement. And people like the Amazing Randi and Ray Hyman, Paul Kurtz, Martin Gardner, and others kind of rallied against pseudoscience and the paranormal in the sense that it seemed anti-science, or it seemed to violate the laws of nature and therefore the methods of science. And I could see that there was kind of a niche place for people that study those particular topics that, as you say, most scientists wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, mainly because I think they're busy with their own work. It's not that they don't care about, you know, those intrusions in science, but somebody's got to do it, and that's what we do. So when I founded Skeptic Magazine in 1992, you know, it took off pretty quickly. I was quite startled. I was just a college professor, and it was just a hobby. And then it became my job because it turns out there really is a market for people that want to know, you know, how do you explain firewalking, or what's the explanation for how psychics talk to the dead, or, you know, any of these kinds of things. And that's kind of become our specialty.
And the great Houdini, who is a magician, of course, didn't he make a distinction between magic and true psychic phenomena? In fact, didn't Houdini try to expose those magicians who try to masquerade as people having psychic powers?
Yes, indeed, he did. He was kind of the earliest first skeptic of the 20th century. Of course, you can take it back to David Hume as the original skeptic in the Enlightenment. But Houdini really put it on the skepticism on the map because he did it with magic. And his point of doing a lot of these magic tricks was to tell people ahead of time, I'm doing a magic trick. It's a trick. It's not real magic in the paranormal sense. It's magic as in I'm going to deceive you intentionally, and you won't see how I'm doing it. There's a famous story I wrote about in Scientific American between Houdini and Arthur Conan Doyle, who is the great author of the Sherlock Holmes novels. And you would think Sherlock Holmes would be a super critical thinker, reasoner, because, you know, Arthur Conan Doyle, because he created that character, Sherlock Holmes, who was a great reasoner, and so on. But in fact, he had lost a son in the First World War, and he turned to the kind of the theosophical spiritualist movement that was popular in the 1920s. And he came to believe in all sorts of spirits and ghosts and angels and fairies and things like this. And he got duped by these two girls that faked these photos of fairies that were dancing around down at this little stream near their home. And later, you know, it was figured out how they did it, and they best up that they did it. But Houdini was curious why a man of that great reasoning power would fall for something so obviously false. And so when they met, Houdini set up a magic trick in which he had Arthur Conan Doyle pluck out these little cork balls and dip them in white ink and then place them on this sort of chalkboard. But before he did that, he said, okay, I want you to take this pad of paper, walk down the street and write something, and then tear it off and don't let me see it. Don't show it to anybody. And then, okay, so he does that. And then he comes back and he does the little thing with the ink balls. And Conan Doyle had written out this phrase from the Bible. I think it was from the Book of Daniel. And then Houdini proceeded to replicate this with this little cork balls. It's a trick. It's sort of like slate writing. And, you know, of course, he got what Conan Doyle had written through a kind of a magic trick. It's pretty basic, really super simple how he got it. But Conan Doyle was just completely stunned by this. And he's like, you do have the power of psychic, you know, true magic. And Houdini's like, no, Sir Arthur, it's a trick. I'm not going to tell you how I did it, but it's a magic trick. And the fact that you can't figure out how it's done doesn't make it real magic. And I thought that was a really good lesson for all of us. You know, when people tell me, you know, I saw this, you know, I'm a skeptic too, but I saw this guy bend a spoon or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, when Copperfield makes the Statue of Liberty disappear, do you think he really makes it disappear right there for real? Well, no, I know that's a trick. Right, they're all tricks. So the fact that you don't understand how the trick is done doesn't mean it's real magic. And that, in logic, that's called the argument from personal incredulity, or the argument from ignorance, that, you know, that if I can't explain it, then it can't be explained through natural means. And that's a problem everybody falls into.
Okay, Michael, I have to interrupt you. We have to take a short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of your latest book, Heavens on Earth.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us on the line is Michael Shermer, publisher of Skeptics Magazine and one of the founders of the Skeptics Movement. He has a new book called Heavens on Earth, The Scientific Search for Afterlife, Immortality, and Utopia. So, Michael, tell us a little bit about, well, the afterlife. We've probably seen TV programs where people claim to have seen a light at the end of the tunnel. They were in a near-death experience, and they claim to have seen a piece of heaven. What are your thoughts?
Right. Those are called near-death experiences, or NDEs, and they incorporate out-of-body experiences, or OBEs, as they're called. And basically, the similarities are striking. The person feels like they're floating out of their body above their body looking down. Often this happens in ERs, so they're looking down at their bodies on a table with medical personnel around and trying to revive them and so on. And then they report seeing sort of passing through a tunnel or a spiral or something like that with a white light at the end, and you go through and then you see something on the other side. Now, the fact that they're fairly common in narrative stories that you hear a lot about. In fact, the number of people that almost die and come back, most people don't have any kind of experience like that. So it's actually relatively rare, maybe only 10-20%. So it's not like everybody does this. And the key to understanding near-death experiences is the first word, near. They're not dead. They're near dead. People will say, well, I was dead, and then I came back to life. And in between, I went to this place called heaven. They weren't dead. We know this for a fact, that, you know, the so-called clinical death, or how an ER doc, you know, describes the person is being dead. This usually has to do with some kind of medical definition. In fact, we know that the brain continues to function for several minutes after, say, a heart attack or near drowning, and that when they're revived, when they're brought back, this is usually when the near-death experience happens in this kind of fuzzy land, either going down into or coming back out of consciousness, much like falling asleep or waking up. There is these kind of fuzzy boundaries that are called hypnopompic and hypnagogic hallucinations that people have when they're falling asleep or waking up. So it's a little bit like that. Now, we know where it happens in the brain. In the temporal lobes, just above your ears, there's a little spot there that with open brain surgery, where you wake the patient up and you tap around with an electrode. These are done for medical reasons, and you get permission to wake them up and do this. So it's one way we've mapped the brain. There's a little spot in the temporal lobe where if you touch it, the electrode, the person will say, whoa, I feel like I'm floating out of my body. And if you ratchet up the electricity, they'll go, whoa, I'm way up by the ceiling looking down now. And if you touch around the spot, the person will say, like, well, my leg is floating now, my arm, my left arm, my right leg, and so on. And so we know that it's a neural activity that you can replicate in other conditions. For example, this Navy physician named James Winery, Navy pilots that he worked with, accelerates them in a centrifuge till they black out. It's part of their training. Most of them have one of these kind of little dreamlet states, as he called them, where they feel like they're floating out of their body. That's just hypoxia, oxygen deprivation to the cortex, the visual cortex, as the blood is shunted to the center of the body and the center of the brain, the cortex shuts down. And as it does so, they experience this out-of-body, the tunnel, the white light. So we know 100% that it's a neural activity. The person isn't going anywhere. They're still in their head. And you can achieve this, of course, through hallucinogens. Ayahuasca, apparently, I've not tried this, but is a great way to travel to this other place. Now, those experiences are rather different from NDEs, but there's still this sense that the person is going somewhere. So, and finally, the accounts are actually not that similar when you get down to the details. If heaven was a place that everybody goes to, you would think that the accounts when people come back would match each other, but in fact they don't. Christians see Jesus, for example. Buddhists don't see Jesus. Muslims, when they have NDEs, they don't see Jesus. So it's very much culturally bound in terms of how you describe what it is you saw. So that tells us it's a purely human experience inside the head and part of culture, not a place where people go.
And also we see on television psychics who talk to the dead. They bring families to the TV screen and they ask questions, and the family is amazed that these guys get all the answers right, as if they really are talking to dead people. Now, I understand that you've mastered that technique as well, that you at parties can also talk to dead people. So how do you do it?
Well, actually, anybody can talk to dead people, Michio. It's getting the dead to talk back. That's the hard part. People talk to dead people at cemeteries all the time. I've talked to my mom in her grave. But, you know, of course, I'm talking to myself. I'm having a memorable experience with my mom. But that's very different from what it looks like psychics are doing, which is cold reading. Now, cold reading is where you literally read somebody cold. You've never met them. You've not done any research on them. You don't know anything about them. You don't need to. Now, there is such a thing called hot reading, where you actually cheat and look somebody up and get information about them and feed that back to them. Or like the the faith healers do, where they have people fill out a prayer card ahead of time, and then the person in the back room reads the prayer cards in a microphone to the preacher who has an earpiece listening to this. Now that's just cheating. That's hot reading. Cold reading is where you just don't know somebody at all. You know nothing about them, and then you just start very broad. It's almost like an astrological reading, you know, and you just keep it very positive, very broad. And if it's somebody who's come to the reading because they've lost somebody, of course, you know, some general characteristics. It's probably, if it's a young person, it's probably a grandmother, a grandparent, or a family friend who's older. If it's a middle-aged person, it's probably a parent or perhaps a spouse. And so you just start broad like that. I feel somebody coming through here. It feels like a male figure to me. Who is this, please? And then the person will say, oh, this is my grandfather, you know, George. Yes, no, I'm getting the name. His name is George. It feels like a grandfather to me. They just feed it back. And then, you know, an hour later when you interview the person, well, how was the reading? It was unbelievable. He got that it was my grandfather. He got his name. And in fact, when you record him and you play it back, you see that, in fact, the person getting the reading is the one who told the psychic. The psychic didn't get that information. So, and then they'll say something like, well, yes, I'm getting something about something in the chest area. Was it a heart attack or the head area? Was it a stroke? Well, there aren't that many ways that people die. So you can get the cause of death fairly readily also. And then you go down to very specific things, like he wants you to know he loves you, or she wants you to know she forgives you. You know, these are the kinds of things that people who are grieving are concerned about. You know, I didn't get to say goodbye. I didn't get to tell him I loved him. You know, and so, of course, those are heartwarming things to hear. Then they get very specific, like, you know, he's telling me something about you used to wear your hair longer, now it's shorter, or you used to have two earrings, now there's just one in this pair and you've been hanging on to it, or you know, something specific about, you know, a picture on a hearth above a fireplace of the loved one. Or you, if it's a guy, men tend to keep their father's or grandfather's watch. I remember the first time I went to one of these readings back in the 90s for this TV show, Unsolved Mysteries, where we sat all day watching this psychic, James Van Praagh, do readings. And he kept saying the watch about guys who had lost a father or grandfather. And I had lost my father, and I had his watch. And I thought, oh, my God. I thought I was the only one. And it turns out all these guys in the room that had lost fathers or grandfathers kept their fathers or grandfathers watch. I don't know what it is, but it's just something we do. And, you know, women keep a piece of jewelry or, of course, keepsakes like photographs of loved ones. So psychics know this, and they just feed that into the audience. And if you have a big audience, maybe 20, 30 people or 100 people, like in a TV studio, you're going to get tons of hits. And you only need a handful to make it look good, because the people after the readings will only remember the hits. They'll forget the you know, the 100 different misses. You know, I'm getting this name or that name. Nobody raises their hand. And then finally somebody raises their hand. Everyone will remember that particular unusual hit and forget all the misses. So it's something of a trick. You might call it like a magic trick called mentalism in magic, a form of cold reading that looks like it's, you know, real psychic magic, but it's not. It's just a trick.
And at the end of the TV interviews, everyone breaks down and cries. But isn't that because the family members want something? They want forgiveness on the part of their dearly beloved. And at the final moment, everyone breaks down and makes great television, right? Well, we have to take a short commercial break. But after the break, we'll continue with Michael Shermer, author of a book, Heavens on Earth. And if you want to be part of the dialogue, give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station, our website, and the city you're calling from. And bingo, maybe you can get on Science Fantastic.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
You USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
President Trump says he did not warn Vladimir Putin about meddling in the 2020 election during a phone call on Friday, and said the Russian president was not surprised allegations that Moscow colluded with the Trump campaign proved false.
He actually sort of smiled when he said something to the effect that it started off as a mountain and it ended up being a mouse, but he knew that because he knew there was no collusion.
A Boeing 747 coming from Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, with 136 people on board, skidded off a runway and into a river at Naval Air Station Jacksonville in Florida. Everyone has been accounted for alive. The plane ended up in the shallow portion of the St. Johns River. A panel of federal judges ruled Friday that Ohio's congressional districts were unconstitutionally drawn up by the Republicans for their political advantage, and it ordered a new map for the 2020 elections. Republican officials say they will appeal. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-985-1813 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-985-1813 now. Again, that's 800-985-1813. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, we have with us Michael Shermer, publisher of Skeptics Magazine and one of the founders of the Skeptics Movement, author of a number of great books, including Why People Believe Weird Things, The Science of Good and Evil, and his latest book is called Heavens on Earth, The Scientific Search for Afterlife, Immortality, and Utopia. Now, once again, I give you a warning. I give you a warning that some of the things you hear in this program may not quite agree with some of your beliefs. But hey, that's what science is all about, to get everything out in the open. The truth, the falsehoods, everything in between,
And, of course, we have to do experiments to figure out what is correct. Well, Michael, in your book, not only do you talk about the afterlife, but you talk about immortality. But isn't it true that scientists are slowly beginning to tease out some of the mechanisms behind longevity, like genes which control the age process in animals, and perhaps even digital immortality if we can digitize some of our personality traits? But what are your thoughts about immortality and why it has such a hold on civilization?
Yeah, like as Woody Allen said, I don't want to live on through my work. I want to live on in my apartment. we only have this kind of what today would be kind of a digital immortality by your profile that you've left behind and the memories of loved ones and so on. We'd all like to do better than that. We'd like to continue our consciousness indefinitely. And this is one of the reasons why people believe in the afterlife is because we can't imagine not existing. That is, if I said picture yourself dead, you can't do it because to picture anything, you have to be alive, conscious. So it's really a peculiar state of being dead. You can't imagine it. It's like imagine there's no universe and you can't do it. I mean, people picture like, well, there's no planets or stars. No, that's not enough. There won't even be space or time. There's not even darkness if there's nothing. There's not even nothing because no thing is a thing that's not. It's not even that. So at some point we hit this epistemological wall of what we can know and we can't know death. All you know is life. So from there, it's easy to see how we've constructed versions of the afterlife through religion, but we can set those aside for a moment because you want to talk about the scientific version. So today we live in a pretty special time where there is the possibility of re-engineering our genome through something like a more sophisticated CRISPR as it develops to break through this upper ceiling. Now the upper ceiling is about 120 years. No one lives past that. I mean, I think the record is 122 and a half or something like that. And it's not really well documented, but just say 120. Now, the first myth that we need to bust is that people live twice as long today as they used to. That's not true. People in the 18th century, 19th century, and so they lived into their 70s, 80s, 90s, just not very many of them. So when you see that doubling of the lifespan, we're just talking about the average lifespan that people live in the course of a life that used to end pretty early, but now it lasts much longer. But once you get up in the 80s and 90s, things start to fall apart pretty quickly. So the next step is then to figure out, well, why that would be. And it turns out it's way more complicated than anybody imagined decades ago. And so the longevity experts, people that study aging, they tell us it's a multifactorial process. Lots and lots of things go wrong at the same time. So there's no one thing you could take, no supplement, no vitamin. There's no magic potion or pill that's gonna, just re-engineer your genome and fix your cells in one fell swoop. It's multidimensional. There's at least seven factors, maybe more. And the telomeres, the end of your chromosomes that have to do with how many times your cell can divide. And there's a limit there, the Hayflick limit. If that's not fixed, there's no way to break through that upper ceiling of 120.
We have to take another short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of your book, Heavens on Earth, The Scientific Search for Afterlife, Immortality, and Utopia. And once again, you're listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest is Michael Shermer, publisher of Skeptics Magazine, one of the founders of the Skeptics Movement, and he has a new book out, Heavens on Earth, The Scientific Search for the Afterlife, Immortality, and Utopia. Well, when we last left off, Michael, we were talking about immortality, but isn't it true that some animals live for an incredibly long period of time? I think it was the Greenland shark for vertebrates. Greenland sharks can live almost 500 years. And
yeah,
so if that, animals, yeah.
That's right. There was that shark that was alive when Shakespeare was writing. So clearly it's possible, biologically, physiologically, and, but again, it's a complicated fact, a complicated process, and of course this precludes that you're not taken out by, a car crash or, fall or something like that. So, but that aside, it's possible. Yes, it's not impossible. I'm not against it. I'm skeptical because the only reason I'm skeptical is people speed up the time frame of when this is going to happen. It's always going to happen in my lifetime. And that sets off my skeptical alarms. Like, I loved your book, about the future of humanity. But you're talking far enough in the future that the things you're talking about are possible. But what bugs me is people that say, you can do it now. Here's my webpage. Send me money. It's going to happen in the next 10 years. That's too optimistic. I don't think that's realistic. Someone like Ray Kurzweil wants to, upload our mind into the cloud. I think there's, in addition to that being impossible at the moment, I'm not even sure it would work in principle. And here, maybe you and I might disagree on this. I can't remember what your position is on this. But if I copied your connectome now, Michio Kaku's brain, every single synaptic connection, I had all your memories, and I uploaded it into the cloud and turned it on while you're still alive. Let's say we had a sophisticated fMRI brain scanner, and you're still standing there next to the brain scanner, and I turn on the Michio Kaku number 2 in the cloud. Would that be you? It would be a copy of you, but your point of view self, the through your eyeballs self, looking at the world, would still be standing there in the brain scanner room while the Michio Kaku number 2 is up in the cloud. Even if Michio Kaku 2 feels like you, it's not you. So I'm skeptical that that would work as the kind of immortality that we want, that is the continuation of self from one moment to the next. What do you think?
I think the problem is actually the English language. The word you is actually ambiguous because the word you evolved as we humans, as biological beings, not digital beings. And if we were more sophisticated, we would change the English language so that there are many kinds of you, a biological you, a cybernetic you. But unfortunately, the English language has evolved as biological entities. Well, let's move on because there's so many things to cover in your book. You also cover utopia. Now, isn't it true that people have strived for utopia since time immemorial, but each time it's failed? So what are your thoughts about utopia, which is mentioned in your book, Heavens on Earth?
Yeah, I added that section because people want to create heavens here and instead of somewhere else, and they always fail for a very simple reason, that societies are always more complex than we can imagine them to be. I mean, we sit down with a pad of paper and go, okay, what are the characteristics of a good society? And you make your list of 12 things or whatever. You know, you want civil rights and civil liberties, the protection, the rule of law, whatever it is, whatever your list is, it's not going to be long enough, and somebody's going to want to do something different that doesn't match, you know, the list. And then what do you do with them? Now, if you have this idea that we can achieve utopia as defined by, you know, everyone is blissfully happy forever, and everyone has, you know, extreme wealth and everything they want, well, that's never going to happen. And so the moment it doesn't happen, which is right away, the utopians look around and, okay, who's preventing us from doing this? Oh, it's those people over there, you know, the Jews or the Hutus or the Tutsis or the, you know, whoever that we don't like. And they're the ones that are preventing us from achieving utopia, and therefore we have to eliminate them. And that's my concern about utopia, is that it almost inevitably leads to genocide or the expulsion of people you come to believe are not, preventing us from achieving utopia. Now, some of these things...
Okay, Michael, we have to take yet another short commercial break. But after the break, I want to talk about your next project, which is conspiracy theories, because everybody has a favorite conspiracy theory of some sort. Once again, you're listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Ask a question, and maybe you can get on national radio. So once again, our special guest is Michael Shermer. We're talking about conspiracies and heavens on Earth.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding, unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze, containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 31st to June 3rd for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, and UFO sightings. More than 100 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts like Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton Howe, Eric Von Doniken, Doc Wallach, and so many more. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate, fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Michael Shermer, author of a new book, Heavens on Earth, The Scientific Search for the Afterlife, Immortality, and Utopia. He's the publisher of Skeptics Magazine, and he's one of the founders of the Skeptics Movement. Now, Michael, I understand that you're working on a new project, and that is conspiracy theories. Now, everybody that I know has a pet conspiracy theory of some sort, and you get paranoid after a while thinking about it. But isn't it true that some of these conspiracies have actually been realized in real life, like MK Ultra? MK Ultra was a secret plan initiated by the CIA for decades to experiment with things like LSD and drugs without people's permission, hiring psychics to do all sorts of bizarre experiments to try to locate Soviet submarines. So what are your thoughts? Isn't it true that some conspiracies were actually real?
Absolutely. And this is one of the differences in my project. My project, by the way, is a teaching company, Great Courses course that will come out in about 6 months or so. I just finished writing it. One of the reasons people believe in conspiracy theories, there's now a rich body of literature by psychologists who study this, that they almost never mention is that because some of them are real, enough of them are real that people should be suspicious of governments and corporations. I mean, you mentioned MK Ultra, right? The CIA, and that's just one of lots of things the CIA was doing that Congress didn't approve, that the public didn't know about. That, by definition, is a conspiracy. And you know, the Tuskegee experiment with African Americans that had syphilis compared to a group of white Americans that had syphilis. And they just used the black guys as a control group where they didn't treat them just to see what the effects, long-term effects of syphilis would be. You know, without telling them, without, you know, consenting, with nothing. I mean, that's a conspiracy. And then there's all the political ones going back to, you know, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, of all the shenanigans in South America. American countries and Middle East countries, dictators we supported because they were more favorable to American interests than dictators that were more favorable to Soviet interests, you know, all those Cold War things. There's a lot of stuff that's been coming out recently that Congress never approved, public never knew about it, presidents and operative agents within the National Security Agency were doing these kinds of things, all the way up to assassinating foreign leaders. They tried to assassinate Castro so many times that he said if assassinations were an Olympic sport, he'd win the gold medal for surviving. That's our government. And, you know, we allegedly have a transparent democracy. Well, not not so much. And, you know, the WikiLeaks about what the NSA has been doing, even under the transparent Obama administration, spying on American citizens, spying on foreign presidents like Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, listening to her phone calls. What? Okay, so there's reason people should be at least moderately paranoid about governments and corporations. I haven't even mentioned corporations, but they've done their fair share of conspiratorial operatives too. And so enough of it is real that it's good to be suspicious, but that doesn't mean every wacky theory you hear is true. It doesn't mean that the Bush administration orchestrated 9/11, that the CIA and the FBI and the KGB assassinated Kennedy and so on, that the government's hiding aliens in Area 51. You know, sometimes governments have secrets for other reasons that are not extraterrestrial. Area 51, for example, is a place where they could test experimental aircraft like the U-2 spy plane and the SR-71 Blackbird and things like that, where, you know, we weren't supposed to know because they're national secrets. We didn't want the Soviets to know. But that doesn't mean they're also hiding aliens just because they're covering things up that way. So you have to take each conspiracy theory and examine them carefully. Some are true, some are not true, some are who knows. And I try to be fair about that.
Okay, well, when you talk about Roswell or Area 51, you have to realize that the Air Force has admitted that they lied. The Air Force has admitted that they would deliberately say untrue things in order to divert attention away from Cold War experiments that they were conducting and Cold War hardware that they were testing at Area 51. So then the question is, who do you believe? Who do you believe when everyone seems to admit that, yeah, they exaggerate, they lie? So what's the average person supposed to believe about Roswell, Area 51, UFOs, things like that?
Yeah, that's a problem because the average person can't find out. You know, you and I are not going to drive up the extraterrestrial highway north of Vegas and knock on the door at Area 51, and they're not going to let us in. And so, but there was a Freedom of Information Act filed about Area 51 in 2015, I think it was, that it, you know, the Air Force said, okay, here's what we were doing. And yeah, we lied. We lied because we didn't want the Soviets to know. And so, again, yes, governments lie to citizens. They do that a lot, disturbingly high rates. And so we should be suspicious. But that doesn't mean they lie about everything. So, for example, at Roswell, you know, the original debris found on Mac Braswell's ranch in 1947, you know, it was just, it looked like balsa wood and tinfoil, stuff like this. It looked like a balloon. So, you know, the initial story was, oh, yeah, it was a weather balloon. And the government lied about that. And they let that story sit for decades until it finally came out in the late 90s that it was a high-altitude surveillance balloon listening for the acoustic signatures of a Soviet nuclear test in the upper atmosphere. So, of course, they're not going to tell people that in 1947 because we're, you know, and the Cold War is getting ramped up. So, yes, they lied. But that doesn't mean they're lying about aliens. They just lied about something a little more mundane.
Well, I tell people that believe in flying saucers that, well, who knows, maybe that's correct. And some of them have been kidnapped by flying saucers. I tell them that the next time you're kidnapped by a flying saucer, steal something. I don't care what it is. An alien chip, an alien hammer, steal something.
Right.
And then you have bragging rights. Okay, well, unfortunately, we have run out of time. Once again, our special guest has been Michael Shermer, author of the book Heavens on Earth. So, Michael, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Oh, you're welcome, Michio, and thanks for having me on.
Okay, once again, Heavens on Earth, the scientific search for the afterlife, immortality, and utopia. That's the book by Michael Shermer, publisher of Skeptics Magazine, one of the founders of the Skeptics Movement. And like I said before at the beginning of the show, some of the things you heard today you may not agree with. But hey, that's what science is all about. We want to get all opinions out there, and we want to test and confirm our beliefs.
If you feel you've been lied to, pressured, or misled into buying your timeshare, you have the right to cancel completely. This is Steve Sanchez, and I'd like to introduce you to Wesley Financial Group, the leading top-rated timeshare cancellation company in the country. That's right, no more excessive fees or lifetime commitments that make you feel like you're serving a prison sentence. Founded by CEO Chuck McDowell, a pioneer in the industry, who went into federal court and won against the largest timeshare resort company in the world just to help you get out of your timeshare. Too good to be true? No. Countless testimonials and the highest ratings from the Better Business Bureau make Wesley Financial Group the real deal, and their money-back guarantee they put in writing makes them the Steve Sanchez choice for successfully canceling your timeshare guaranteed. To get their free information kit, call 1-800-475-1919. That's 1-800-475-1919, or visit them at timesharecancellations.com. That's 1-800-475-1919.